RadioInfluence.com. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark Delight Podcast with
Hump Day, Frankie, Val, and
Beans. It's Wednesday.
Motoring on through. What time is this? I didn't even know there was a joint session of Congress tonight. What time is this farce at?
I don't know. You're not going to be able to understand any of it anyway because they'll have five masks on. And like,
I honestly don't even want to watch it. What are you going to learn about anything?
You know, it's so funny, too. I think that Tim Scott is providing the counter address for the Republicans. My dogs have been, I don't know what's going on in my home. My dogs, Frank, they've been on a tear. It's almost like you gave them catnip over the past couple days.
I didn't do it.
Well, you did. You came here and you provided them with drugs.
I did not. I don't drug animals anymore. Doesn't. I'm out of that business.
You're in. So anyway, I think Tim Scott's delivering like the counter. And I don't even know if there's going to be an audience. Like Tucker Carlson last night apparently did this fantastic 17-minute long monologue about Joe Biden and the masks and all that.
Uh-huh.
And I was listening. I'm on every Wednesday. I'm on the Liz Callaway show in the morning here in my area. And they played it this morning, and I was listening to it. It was really, really funny. And you think I can find it, Frank?
Oh, what, your appearance? Or Tucker Carlson?
Oh, no, Tucker Carlson. I don't care.
I'm sure it'd be easy to find, but especially because I don't know what he said, but there's plenty of people laying down salty commentary about it today.
Yeah. I think, oh, here. Oh, no, that was Josh DeFilippe. They pulled the Epoch Times credentials to report at the White House, by the way, too.
So they can't go in there anymore.
Yeah.
I thought they liked Chinese organizations.
they're anti-China, Frank.
Well, I know, but they're, you know, ethnically, there's Chinese roots there, no? I know they're against the CCP.
Yeah, the Falun Gong, they were founded out of the persecution of the Falun Gong religion.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Done plenty of that, plenty of talking about Falun Gong.
As a matter of fact, the other day I had touched base with some of the folks over there at the Epoch Times that I've missed since being deplatformed from Twitter. But anyway, I digress. I wonder if my point in all of this nonsense was to say, I wonder if Joe Biden will be wearing masks when he's giving a speech, if he's surrounded, you know, are they going to have people actually in the building watching this?
Oh, no. You didn't know that CNN already got this covered.
Oh,
they let everybody know that a source has let them know that he will be wearing a mask as he enters the chamber. But once he gets to the podium, he will remove it.
Is this the same source that says that, Is this a source that tells everybody that John Kerry was not in violation of the Logan Act for the past 4 years?
Oh, absolutely. All the same source. So that's what it is. And really the whole putting on and removing of masks and stuff, it has in their religion, it has now taken on the characteristics of genuflecting before the tabernacle. See,
I have to play this because there's a couple clips that from Tucker, and he had a 17 minute on this. So funny. Here we go. Let's start.
Masks prevent intimacy and human contact. If I can't see your face, I can't know you. Masks are for the guilty. They're signifiers of shame and submission.
Sure.
Until recently, many jurisdictions had laws against wearing masks in public. Only Klansmen and armed robbers wore masks. The rest of us showed our face. We were free people. But then we gave in to the demands of people like Eric Garcetti. And because we did give in, this grotesque version of Halloween went on for more than a year, and it's still going on. Not even Tony Fauci still pretends that masks are medically necessary. Instead, masks are purely a sign of political obedience, like Kim Il-sung pins in Pyongyang. We wear them because we have to. The only people who wear masks voluntarily outside are zealots and neurotics. How neurotic are they? Well, we know. A Pew survey from last March found that 64% of white Americans who classify themselves as liberal or very liberal have been diagnosed with an actual mental health condition. And you see them everywhere when you walk down the street in any major city. If you dare to go on foot from Union Station to the Capitol, for example, in Washington without wearing a mask, angry Biden voters will snort at you in judgment. How could you? They're saying indeed, from behind the gauze.
Yep.
How could you? That's the question we should be asking of them in return. The rest of us should be snorting at them first. They're the aggressors. It's our job to brush them back and restore the society we were born in. So the next time you see someone in a mask on the sidewalk or on the bike path, do not hesitate. Ask politely but firmly, would you please take off your mask? Science shows there is no reason for you to be wearing it. Your mask is making me uncomfortable.
I've been, honestly, this has been my quiet position all along with this stuff there too. People are they're timid. I reach for their hands, you know, the hand goes on out.
Yeah.
They give me the closed fist. I give them the open hand and they take my hand like, you're okay with this? I'm like, yes, but that's the other thing there, Tracy. And I'm glad he said it. And it's the first time I've heard him say it because I saw the CDC released their new updated guidelines that pretty much said that fully vaccinated people are now allowed to take off their masks while they're outside, which, of course, that should have never been a recommendation.
You had that teacher come forward who quit, who was also on Tucker, who said that he refused. Was he fired? He was fired.
Because, the guy from New Hampshire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wouldn't allow, they were making his students, his athletes run track in a mask.
Absolutely. And now my question is, and I'm glad that Tucker got there first. Well, actually, he didn't get there, but he brings up the whole point there. Is the kind of people who are wearing masks outside on a fresh, beautiful spring day anyway. How the hell am I supposed to know now, Tracy, who around me is a lunatic if they have given them permission to take the masks off?
This is true.
I was actually becoming a little bit more comfortable with knowing who around me is out of their minds.
I like that self-censor, Frank.
Yeah, well, I'm trying. You're big time now. I don't even know who you are anymore. Oh, so I have to.
You know who I am? I'm a person that the legacy media likes to stalk in their own Telegram room.
Oh yeah, they're hanging out in your Telegram.
Yeah, they are.
It's amazing.
They're pulling little video clips that I make for people.
What is it? The time is ours or something like that? It's our time. Well, how are
Hi,
you?
Everyone. There's going to be more, too.
I don't hear you, Tracy.
You don't hear me? Seriously? It's your problem.
Yeah, the last I heard from you was being stalked in your own Telegram room.
Yeah, I'm being stalked in my own Telegram room, and I was saying there's more coming, too. As a matter of fact, I addressed this morning on the Liz Callaway show. It's Q stuff, Frank. It's ridiculous Q stuff they're coming after.
You know, and here's the whole thing. There's nothing to do except just let them wallow in this nonsense. They've been calling before they had Q, they just had the term conspiracy theorist. That's just all it is. They are they're defunct individuals. They are completely intellectually dishonest, morally bankrupt. They've got absolutely no willingness inside of them or capacity to debate somebody on history or ethics. They're unethical in every way, shape, or form, which is why this is the kind of nonsense. I saw that Daily Dot article about you. It was so pathetic. And the tweets that they featured were so pathetic.
They had no engagement at all. Literally.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, no. But still, if you look at the personality that is expressed on the timeline of the author, they still believe that they are the premier writer in news.
Well, Frank, I mean, she's an award-winning journalist as per her. Oh, so.
Yeah. Award. Which, what award? Cracker Jack Journalism mm-hmm. Award? Mm-hmm. Get the hell out of here. So hilarious. I piss on all these people.
Look, Frank, the funniest thing is I say this. They kicked me off of Twitter. The journalists keep on saying it's because of Q. That's incorrect. That is not the reason why I was kicked off of Twitter. But you do you, boo. And so they, instead of just saying, oh, good, she's gone, her ideas can no longer permeate through the halls of our Jinsu, they follow me to the one place that I can go, and they still harass me there.
They don't. They get, what do they have to do?
Nothing.
What do they have to do? They're just going to keep parroting their sources about whether or not Joe Biden is going to wear a mask as he enters the chamber tonight. That's all they're going to be talking about. They have to go on the hunt. They're absolute ridiculous. And of course, there's nobody that actually reads them.
No.
Nothing.
No. And the funniest thing is that there was a Vice story, because this is all Vice does anymore is write hit pieces about me, apparently. Where they say, even though she didn't win an important position with any power, that then why are you spending 1,000 words of your publication writing about me? If I'm so inconsequential, you frickin' losers. Anyway.
Yeah, well, doesn't matter. Nobody wants what they're selling anymore. They got less than 9 million people watch the Oscars, which is like their Christmas. That's like their Christmas holiday. Nobody even cares about that. And they still fought with each other. That's the whole thing. That's why they have to go off platform, off of their platforms, to find people that they initially chased away. Because look at the Oscars. You would think that the Oscars this year, the first post-Trump Oscars award, would have been like VJ Day, where the infinity amount of American voters that supposedly defeated Donald Trump would show up to celebrate with each other in some kind of it's like it's Pentecost, and they what happened? Nobody showed up. Their cupboards are bare. Nobody cares what they had to say, and they fight with each other.
Yeah, didn't Tyler Perry come on and say something positive?
I don't know. I didn't watch, because I seriously did not even know it was happening until after it ended late that night.
Yeah, I didn't watch it either. And like, apparently Tyler Perry came out and said, I don't want to hate police officers just because somebody tells me to. Like, he gave like a different kind of speech, apparently, which I was stunned about. I didn't hear it. Whatever. I don't really care. Let them talk to each other in their echo chamber. Clearly, they don't have enough. There's nothing out there for them. Nothing. It's really comical at this point. It's going to be even more comical in a couple of weeks when these pieces keep on piling up on top of themselves. It's fine. This just means, for all of you out there listening who are like combing through everything I could possibly ever say, that we're winning, and you guys, you're irrelevant, and you're horrible. Do some journalism, for goodness sakes. That's why everybody tunes into this show, right, Frank? I mean,
no, absolutely. That's why everybody tunes into this show,
because they want to hear some news, some real news.
You know, did you see Rose McGowan on with Tammy Bruce? That's her name, Tammy.
No,
Bruce?
And you know, just before I was booted from Twitter, I was so close to getting an interview with Rose.
Okay, well, Rose McGowan was on Tammy Bruce the other day, and I saw it come. I came across it on my, or maybe somebody sent it to me. Center the focal point of my show last night, and what she was pretty much talking about, and I don't know, you know, Rose is, she's doing her thing. Obviously, she's fighting and clawing through many years and many layers of abuse and all that stuff. So she's going through a lot. I would not ask her to lead a movement or anything like that, but I do find some value in the things that she has to say, just because, I mean, she admits that she was brought on up in this cult, and she wanted to lay down commentary on cult-like behavior that she sees in the Democrat Party and people who are devout followers of it. And so I did an entire show last night on breaking down like what she was saying about cult membership and indoctrination, and how it really lines up, especially when you talk about the approach to really bringing people to heel over the pandemic. And it's not so much the pandemic, it's the response that's been sold. And that whole cult-like mentality, it explains everything, including this really weird, grabby ex-girlfriend kind of reporting style that you see people going on and diving on into. And I was thinking to myself as I was listening to this, I said, you know what? I would not. You watch, because once you lop yourself off from the herd and you say something critical, then, of course, the knives come out for you, too. And it doesn't matter if you're a woman, if you are new age and liberal, if you've been in Hollywood your whole life, it doesn't matter who you've dated and what you come out against and how pro-feminist you are. It just doesn't matter. What have you done for me lately? And if it's nothing that is useful, they will lop you off, take your head off and eat you. And I said to myself, and I said it out loud there too, I wouldn't be surprised if they say that even she, this smacks of QAnon, because it's the only thing that they have right now. If they don't have any direct tie, if they can't confirm that you've ever yourself read a Q drop or anything that had anything to do with those threads, then they'll say things like, it echoes of so-and-so. It smacks of so and so. It has a feel. It has a tone of QAnon.
You know what's so funny? It's like, you're absolutely right. And even so far as the Arizona audit, I was on War Room yesterday.
I saw.
Which was fantastic. It was a really good interview. I really enjoyed it a lot. He was great.
It went very smoothly.
Thank you. And you know, they did this with the Arizona audit. And before the interview, I actually got to speak with him about like some of the, you know, gist of what we were going to talk about. Nothing serious or anything. And he said, you know, they're trying to spear you as a QAnon conspiracy theorist. I said, and who haven't they tried to smear as a QAnon conspiracy theorist at this point? It's been as watered down as racism.
It's hilarious.
It's literally the Arizona audit firm is QAnon conspiracy theory people. Which we're going to talk about at length when we're done getting through this stuff, but it's true. They'll accuse Rose McGowan of being QAnon because she's talking about they have literally they're defending pedophilia and trafficking of human beings because they have no morals and ethics and you know no hearts or souls, obviously, but also because they have politicized. And I've been screaming this for years, Frank, years. They politicized a crime against children as a weapon against their political enemy. How sick and disgusting do you have to be as a person to do something like that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I went real, real deep into that last night because, you know, when you talk about when you talk about the things that Rose McGowan comes out about, and of course, in this talk with Tammy Bruce, she actually drops a little bit on the Clintons, of course, because they were very, very tight with her abuser, her main abuser, Harvey Weinstein, and all the inroads to Hollywood, which is infested with major Democrat donors. They are controllers and manipulators of the culture. And because I was reading this article. And it was an article on where the hell was it from? Oh, it was from consentfactory.org. They did two really well done blogs or that was called the COVIDian cult part one and two. And I came across it. And the second one, they did all of this stuff about indoctrination into cult like behavior, which is why I thought it went really hand in hand with what Rose McGowan was talking about. And in going through all of that, it was really just disturbing to me to see how they bring you to this point where in this article they talk about thought terminating cliches, where everything is driven down to the most absurd and simplistic nutshell conclusion or statements that you can make to make everything around it, anything that stands behind it, this very thin veneer of absurdity, seem like it's untouchable. If you create a cliche that can terminate anybody's critical thinking, like, oh, this person is a QAnon subscriber, and all of a sudden, anything that may have been behind that curtain is now gone. And especially when you talk about human trafficking and stuff like that, there is nothing about it that should be minimized because it is a massive and a massively underreported global business.
Yeah.
Especially here in the United States, the losses of life, especially for children, are staggering. There are more children that are missing every year here than there are in places like India that have populations in excess of a billion people.
Yeah, now and when you talk about it, Frank, you're a domestic terrorist.
Exactly. And you know what? The other thing there, too, it's a domestic terrorist to actually care about the lives of migrant children, too, who are even less accountable.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're not even in the system. It's just you have this flood of tens of thousands of human beings, tens of thousands by the day sometimes, that they come and go. They're lost like wisps of smoke. And much of it.
Stop it, Frank, you conspiracy theorist, you QAnon adherent.
No, I hope the loser at the Daily Dot is listening to this. Much of it is fused at the hip with satanic ritual abuse. That is 100% true. We have an embarrassment of riches that Satanism, the occult, human trafficking have been embedded within power structures all over the world, in culture and in government. It was at the base of our rocket program. You had a devil worshiping, a devil worshiper, founder
founded
of the temple.
The temple of Set, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Created our PSYOP and mind war programs for the military. Just in the last 2 years alone, the FBI alone gave us some really amazing drops and confirmation on what we already knew about the Finders cult and how that was tied in with the CIA.
Another unproven conspiracy theory. Don't mind the FBI reading room. That's all nonsense fodder.
Yep. The McMartin School and how there were tunnels and human bones found underneath and animal bones for all the sacrifices found underneath the school.
There are no such thing as tunnels.
Yep. North Fox Island over there in Michigan. The Franklin scandal, of course, that went all the way to the White House.
Jeffrey Epstein did it. Jeffrey Epstein hung himself in his cell. And
Jeffrey Epstein, his royal buddies out there, and Jimmy Savile, who spend all the time in the world at Buckingham Palace.
No. I mean, that's not true. That's not true, Frank.
Oh, not only this. What about the pedophile? Oh, and you, Daily Dot, you're going to love this. You remember Republican House Speaker Denny Hastert, the pedophile?
No, don't even go there. That's just complete QAnon nonsense. Don't.
Yeah, well, the Clinton administration kept him in place with pedophile blackmail over his head during the 90s so he could play ball. That's right.
Frank, where's that? Right. Where's that found, Frank?
COINTEL. COINTELPRO 2.
Yeah, but where do we find information on that? Because I think that's also a QAnon conspiracy theory.
Probably just a couple of diligent Google searches at this point.
Oh, you mean somebody actually wrote about this? Like a journalist wrote about this?
Oh, many.
Oh, really?
Many. Yeah. Oh, and aside from the fact that he was, you know, sent to jail, Denny Hastert.
Oh.
And just look at the timelines where he was active. And it's one of the, forget about George Nader.
George Nader. You mean the witness that the Mueller probe used and hid his pedophilia from the world while they used him as a witness against people in the Trump campaign? That guy?
Absolutely. And the first time that he was found with not only helping traffic children in and out of the country for sexual reasons, but also bestiality porn. Wait. He has had access to every White House since, I think, Bush 1.
He's very connected to the Clintons, is he not?
Very connected.
Recall, Frank, that he actually was convicted of these things, wasn't he?
Absolutely, he was.
Oh, that's just a QAnon conspiracy theory, though. Don't talk about those things on the show. You'll discredit us. How dare you?
So my question is, why the hell would anybody who cares about integrity or at least the health of a society, especially the well-being of children, want to put this buffer of thought-terminating cliches and a barrier of cognitive dissonance between the general public and the truth by just saying, oh, don't go on over there. That's where QAnon lives. That's what they do to keep people away from actually thinking. Just keep three or four masks on. That's what the Daily Dot wants you to do.
Keep three or four masks on and, you know, keep tarnishing your fellow Americans who are trying to share information as conspiracy theorists like in the Kennedy era. And we'll all be happy and go home and everything will be good. Guess what? It ain't working anymore. It ain't working anymore. It's just not. So good luck with all that.
Hey, you know that today, this day in 1945, was Benito Mussolini's execution?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was killed by the civilians. He was they were severely beaten until they looked like mashed potatoes, and then they were skinned and salted.
I was wondering if you were going to – I was going to ask if they threw them in jail as domestic terrorists.
Oh, no. It was a little bit more swift than that. Mm.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
So the next thing that I wanted to talk about today was the Arizona audit. And it's we have a bunch of reporting up by our genius, brilliant friend, Wendy, at uncoverdc.com. There was the hearing yesterday, which I listened to. I don't know if you did. Probably not, Frank. Right?
What?
About the Arizona audit. There was the hearing.
No, but I want to know more about this, because what the hell's what's been going on?
Well, the very long and short of it is, hold on, I'm going to pull up the article here. The very long and short of it is this. They had a hearing yesterday to determine whether or not they were going to enforce the temporary restraining order to stop the audit from happening. And you know, this judge apparently has a connection to Perkins Coie, one of the lawyers that's actually, you know, doing the plaintiff, I should say. She's a Perkins Coie lawyer, and this judge is apparently connected to Perkins Coie. So while the other judge recused himself for some stupid nonsense, this judge is not. Long story short, and we're going to get into detail here in a second, the audit is continuing as of right now, and the judge in the case declined to make a decision on it yesterday, but did somewhat lean in favor of the plaintiffs and the questions about the security and the anonymity of Maricopa County voters and their information, which is asinine, because basically what the plaintiffs and Democrats want is for the security plan, the statement of work on the audit, and all of the information from Cyber Ninjas to be publicly made publicly available so that they know what it is.
So how far along did the process go before it's been halted?
No, it's still going.
Okay.
He refused he says there's a hearing. There should be a hearing today, I believe, at 10 a.m. Eastern, Pacific, which would be 1 o'clock Eastern. But listening to this yesterday, I just couldn't help but say to myself, like, all of these people, all of these Democrat women, they all sound the same, Frank. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, well, you know the voice I'm talking about.
Yeah, just long, dragged out, quivery and whiny.
Yeah. But I have a bunch of, I have some clips I definitely saved yesterday to go over. Well, you know what? I'm a little bit behind here. I'm a little bit off. First, there was this. We're just going to go backwards for a second because I can't not let you hear this. Ready?
Dr. Fauci, give us vaccines. Help all the people who have been quarantined. We'll wear our masks and we'll have to stay distant. We'll wash our hands and we'll be more resistant. Fauci, yes. Promise us, please. We'll have a cure that can fight off this disease. Restrictions will lift with some ease. Dr. Fauci, don't forget me.
There's another example of liberal women at work. They force their obvious, I don't know if it's just like Asperger's or autism, whatever that it is. But they force their children into these really embarrassing rituals, and of course, the little good job dancing monkey, good job my dancing monkey child.
This is also another thing. Before we go on, there's so much to talk about today, but we're gonna get back into the audit, and I'm sorry about the start and stop, but this is another thing that I wanted to play. Will watches the New York, obviously, Mets. He watches the Mets, and it's on a New York station.
SNY?
Yeah. And he talks to me about this all the time. This is the commercial that they play like six times every break. Here we go.
You should know why the COVID-19 vaccines are safe. This is why. Strict safety standards were followed. The vaccines were tested on thousands of volunteers, and the highest scientific standards were followed. Severe allergic reactions are extremely rare. You will be observed by medical staff in case you have an allergic reaction. Millions have been vaccinated safely. So far, tens of millions of people in the U.S. have been vaccinated safely. The vaccines save lives. The vaccines prevent severe illness, hospitalizations, and deaths from COVID-19. So yes, you're right. You should be sure the COVID-19 vaccines are safe. With strict safety standards followed, few allergic reactions,
so this is pink,
millions vaccinated safely, plus the prevention
all the pretty
of
little bubbles.
Illness, you can be sure the COVID-19 vaccines are safe and save lives.
This is literally a propaganda campaign. Like
it sounds like it's out of like the flashback scenes from I Am Legend.
Right. Right.
Yeah, like going back to the time before society collapsed to see how one cure-all solution over the other was promoted and everybody was excited for the future without disease. Now, I just don't care what kind of concoction you put in your body. I don't care if you want to, I would recommend you not do things like heroin and meth, but if that's where your life is taking you and you want that, then go right ahead. Just leave everybody else alone. And of course it's not that, and it's not, it's just the very thing that they're saying that has been done. It has not been done. It has not been very thoroughly tested. It has not passed rigorous standards. In fact, it was given a very quick standard of approval to go out and continue testing on larger public scales. That's all this is.
And I just want to say, Frank, that they say in here it's been tested on thousands. Think about the population of the world.
Billions.
Think about the population of the country now, 351 million. They're telling you a subset of less than a half a percent, if my math is correct, somewhere around there, of people they tested this on, and it was great.
There are over 70, maybe at least 60,000 to 70,000 people crammed into my little village. We don't even have city status. Okay, that means that maybe 1% of the village I live in was tested. And now that is going to be extrapolated out as safe for a country of 330 million.
Yep. That's what they're saying.
But you know, when you say thousands, oh, people go, wow, thousands?
More than thousands listen to the show. Think about it like that.
Well, there's more people that listen to the show than were ever actually tested before this is rolled
exactly.
out.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, just, you know, I don't know. I see in the chat room all the time, you know, people saying, oh my gosh, I couldn't stop my mom from getting it. You know, I couldn't stop my father-in-law. My niece just got this and she's pregnant. And everybody's really worried about their family who have gotten this shot.
Yeah, well, it's, I'm worried too. I mean, 5 out of 7 of my daughter's grandparents have gotten it and they vote all different ways. It's purely not purely political. Obviously, there is a little bit more of an ideological drive for liberals to go on out there.
It used to be the opposite.
I know. It used to be the exact opposite. They used to be the my body, my choice tree hugger types that wanted to go all natural and live amongst the trees.
Yeah.
And now they are. And now it's trust the science, which when you think about this, I'm definitely interested in. I love science. I love reading about what goes on with people who are working within those fields right there. But trusting the science, if you're going to even just bring that little phrase that once again, that that thought terminating cliche to the fore, you're telling me just somebody who learned about the scientific method in middle school just to know what it is and what goes into being a scientist. If you ever wanted to go and pursue it further, then you know that the science you're trusting is actually not a set science. The science is a series of hypotheses and theories that are always changed and scrapped and restarted through a long, long line of trial and error. That's science. Trial and error and theories testing themselves out. And it's very, very, very rare that you settle on a fact. And it's usually a long, long pursuit. And now we have to say, trust the science. Get this shit in your body. It's been less than a year since it's been developed. trial and error. It doesn't even jive with the basics of what we've been taught science is.
No, they're changing the definition of science. And, you know, you have people out there now. Apparently Joe Biden's logic is you need to get vaccinated to protect others.
Makes no sense.
It's legitimately stupid. And it doesn't matter if you've had COVID already. Those antibodies are not as effective as the vaccine antibodies are. We don't know how long they're going to last for. You don't. What?
They are relying on nothing but the brute strength of their propaganda machine, because they've had to overpower everything just from the very weak levels of lethality. Thankfully, that this bug has shown us. They're talking about 2.3 to 3.4% lethality rates. You're talking about tens of millions dead, and now we're looking at, and we have been for a long time now, 99.8% survivability and all that stuff.
AOC just come out in New York and say if you want to collect this money from the government, if you lost a relative to COVID and it's not listed on their death certificate, just call and let them know that you want it to be listed on their death certificate.
What?
Yeah. It's somewhere. It's probably it. Hold on. I'm going to pause it because this is important. And I promise, Frank, is there any chance if we go over, you could stay like 5 minutes?
Like 11:05?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to get through the Arizona stuff, but this is important. So hold on. It was paused.
When?
Just this whole time.
Since when?
Since the clip.
Which clip? Oh, AOC?
The one I couldn't find.
Oh, shit. All that.
All that great content.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on today, Frank.
Then it's not even worth continuing with that story.
No, but it was a good story.
Damn. No, it's not even that. We had a couple of really good exchanges before that, too.
I know. We were talking about the vaccinated people, you know, or the people that just get sick normally and they can't go outside.
Yeah, you can't get sick anymore because now you're going to be one of those ironic headlines.
Yeah.
It's like we have all the pressure in the world not to ever get sick again and not to die either. You have to stay alive forever.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry I didn't hit that button. I don't know what's wrong with me. I could have sworn I did.
That's right.
Well, okay. Let's move on to audit stuff because I have clips here of Rachel Maddow and other people, and I want you guys to hear them. Listen to how Rachel Maddow, this is a little long, but it's really worth it. Listen to how Rachel Maddow is framing this, Frank. You ready?
Yep.
Presidential ballots that's being conducted by a pro-Trump QAnon conspiracy theorist and his private security firm that he calls Cyber Ninjas. Arizona Republicans hired this guy and
isn't
gave
it funny?
Him two-thirds of the...
Isn't it just all... It's just all so hilarious.
Look at this loser they have doing this.
Actual ballots cast by real Arizona residents in the presidential race in November.
No, Rachel. Rachel... The actuality of it is they probably weren't cast by real Arizona residents. Hence the reason for the audit. Play. I said play. It's not playing now. Why isn't it playing?
I don't know.
Because this is what's going to happen now? Is this what's going to happen? Hold on. I really want to get through this with you. Like, we spent the first half hour talking about very important stuff, but I really want to get through this audit stuff. With you. So Maddow is going to continue and we're going to listen to it come hell or high water. I took myself off my wireless. Maybe that's what it is. She just said that they handed over real ballots cast by real Maricopa County residents. Really? Are you sure about that? Like, isn't that the argument?
Arizona's presidential ballots that's being conducted by real Arizona residents in the presidential race in November. He says he's going to do some sort of...
What the heck is going on? Save to camera roll.
I wish I can tell you, but the boiler just went on, so.
Oh, is that why you're muting yourself?
Yep.
The end of the show is just going to crap right now.
I know. It just hit. We hit a brick wall. It's all over.
It's going straight to nonsense world right now.
This is what we get for being QAnon conspiracy theorists.
Yeah, did they come for us then, Frank?
You know, I love how she laughed about cyber ninjas. I would love to go through all of the ridiculous things This is stupid. You want to talk about cringy and laugh worthy. Oh my God, that is the entire liberal ethos. I mean, where was she to make fun of David Hogg and his failed pillow experiment?
Right. And it's funny because there are people that are like doing pieces like, oh, so-and-so owns a company that owns this company and blah, blah. I'm like, how many companies does David Brock own? How many companies does Hillary Clinton own?
All of them.
Ridiculous. Just ridiculous. Every LLC in the world is owned by David Brock and Hillary Clinton, but nobody looks into those ties, right? Well, people do. It's just, you know, this had better download. It is 10:55 a.m. I have 10 minutes, 10 minutes, even though we've only been recording now for 41.
Yeah.
I'm pausing it again. Hold on.
Tiger ninjas.
We're going to try.
Arizona Republicans hired this guy and gave him 2/3 of the actual ballots cast by real Arizona residents in the presidential race in November. He says he's going to do.
Nope, not today.
I'm just going to get up. I'm going to throw something. You know what's happened right now? I just looked over to my left. I have the South Carolina GOP bylaws scattered all over the floor. They must have fallen off the printer while we were in the midst of this nonsense. Let's talk about something else real quick while this downloads or does whatever the hell it's doing right now. I was reading, you know, there are two people that are being prosecuted for the death of Sicknick, that officer who died of a stroke, we've learned now.
Two people?
There are two people that are being prosecuted for spraying bear spray.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I guess when in doubt, fall back on bear spray instead of the being bludgeoned by a fire extinguisher. Can't let this one go. Can't be shown for the frauds that we are.
Can I read this? I just got this.
Okay.
From Maggie Magoo. The subject is stupid piece of SHIT. Are you ready? It's because of idiots like you that Michigan now has a spike in COVID. Two of my neighbors have it. One guy on dialysis and he ended up in the hospital. He got it from the other neighbor whose kid got it at school. My son has diabetes and I don't want him to die from this shit. All of you GQP crazies are making the situation worse. You're nothing but a fraud. You voted for the mad king who wanted to be a dictator. You want to be a dictator and force your ideology on everyone else. Who pays you? Coach Brothers, DeVos? The irony in this email is it's dripping.
You voted for a mad king who wanted to be a dictator. Voting would come into action in no phase of that rise to power, my friends. A mad king would have taken over by force and he would have continued to ensconce himself into the power structure without the consent of the voter. So they continue to hype up this Game of Thrones, the Harry Potter world of fantasy that they live in.
Meanwhile, she's trying to force her ideology on me.
Yeah, and not only that, but what did your diabetic son do during the normal flu season? That still kills tens of thousands to 100,000 people a year that has magically disappeared over the last year and a half.
You know, she's the mad king of her household, Frank, and she's got her diabetic son locked in the basement right now for fear that he may encounter somebody.
I mean, it's an honest question. What did you do before? Because, I mean, we're talking about the same kind, actually more lethal than what we're talking about here, if you given the age ranges. And at-risk groups, what did you do before? And here's another thing there, too. Well, now it's going back up in Michigan. How does one ever get through an outbreak? How do we ever get to the other side of this? When is it over? They're just so stupid. They're just so stupid. When is it over? Never.
It's never over, Frank. Never.
God, how stupid.
And this clip is also never downloaded. Ever.
Well, whatever. I guess we can always just... There might be more to talk about on that respect on Friday.
We're going to have to, because I really want to go through this step by step and show everybody these clips of how the left is handling it. And, you know, Bannon has actually been very focused on Arizona. It is the key to everything. It really is the key to everything. And there are two different cases going on. I'm going to link the article that Wendy wrote in the show notes below for everybody. And please go there and read it because it's really fantastic. And if for some reason you don't know what our websites are, Frank, what's your website?
QuiteFrankly.tv.
Mine is UncoverDC.com. Gosh, what a bummer. I hope everybody liked the show. We're just going to end it now. I just can't.
I think it was actually pretty great.
Hate mail, undownloaded freaking clips. You have been listening to the Wednesday edition of the Dark Delay Podcast with
Hump Day Val and
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com until Friday.
Later.
This is an In the Trenches with Ian Beckles Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Let me say this, all right? And listen, nobody knows that Trevor Lawrence can be a great football player. Nobody knows that. It's impossible to know, all right? After that, to me, is a crap shoot. I've heard every expert. If I listen to 40 experts, there was 40 different opinions about the next quarterbacks. Literally. Like, one will say, this guy's overrated, this guy. Nobody knows is the answer. Now, from what I've heard from other people and what I've seen as well, I watch a lot of college football. Mac Jones, to me, is the most ready football player. He's the most ready for this year, maybe next year. But I think he has a lowest ceiling. I just don't know how talented he is. Everybody says he's a smart kid. I saw a special on him and his father, how they made a pact and they wrote this big contract on how he's going to conduct himself. He's very mature. Okay, and to succeed in your first year in the NFL, you have to be mature. I think first and foremost, you have to be mature. You also have to have some exposure to a lot of football, which I think Mac Jones has. So I think he's the most ready to go. So if San Francisco was to pick him and Garoppolo went down, they'd probably be in the best hands because they have a lot of good football players around them. Now, for me, Justin Fields is number two. I mean... I don't know why this kid, we don't know if everybody says he's plummeting down the draft board. You don't know that. San Francisco may still take him at three. You don't know that, okay? It's up to them. I mean, if we keep on listening to the press, we'll be wrong a lot. Nobody saw Daniel Jones getting drafted as high as he did last year. There's always surprises out there.
In the Trenches with Ian Beckles can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.